This is RSB and Me Update, episode 378, recorded Friday, September 14th, 2012. 1 plus 2 equals 3. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of RSVNB Update. This week, we're here with Paul, SilverWiz9, formerly on RuneScape, PFK99s, and the one who got married for our Get on the Show contest before.
Yep. You're never going to live that one down, Paul.
No, and no. That's King Kala in the background. First time he's been on since he saw me this summer, so you should just send him some questions about that. And of course,
it's been a while, Trekkie. So it's good to see you guys again. And Trekkie.
Yes.
Hello.
That's the response to everything. So let's just get started because we don't have much for RS updates this week, hence the panel of old veterans. So the Players Gallery 36, Sizzling Summer. Any favorites?
I like "And He Dot Dot Dot" by Estrel. We're sitting around a campfire and telling stories.
It's all right. Yeah, I'm confused.
Why does he have like a goblin or something on his shoulder?
Because he's a terrible, terrible person, and that's his inner devil.
Yep. I see.
I just like how he casually is feeding him marshmallows.
Oh, yeah, that's nice detail.
I think the imp's just eating it, and he's like, wait, where are they going? I gotta start getting more. Yeah.
The one with the little leprechaun on the beach is nice as well. That's a classic
funny.
Farmingscape.
Farmingscape.
Yeah, it's by Oreo Pies.
I like the Here Comes the Sun one as well. It's very nicely drawn, but the one thing I'm wondering is, why are they wearing black? That would be so hot to wear out in the sun.
Well, the other thing is, why is she holding a giant carrot? She must really want her vitamin B.
I guess
vitamin
so.
C, isn't it? That's what carrots have, no?
Yeah,
they have it too, but vitamin B, because primarily vitamin B is used for your eyes.
I see.
Gets converted into helping your eyes remain able to see very well in vision.
Hey, did you get that? Carrots, vitamin B, eyes, and then I said I see?
I see. I see what you did there.
Yeah. I guess this is just the story of summer people running around having fun with each other, I guess, and with their black calves. And you know, carrots don't exist in RuneScape, so that's one thing I wish I was able to farm.
You want to be Bugs Bunny?
No, I want to farm carrots, like farm produce, you know, not exactly because I'm a rabbit or anything like that. But
yeah. Okay, moving on. Next one.
Yeah, so if there's nothing really there, let's just say that this weekend there's another live stream, this regarding bots and micropayments.
And this one might actually work?
Well, last weekend did work. So, as a reminder that you can head on over to the RuneScape YouTube channel and view the live stream regarding Squeal and Solomon's store.
Mm-hmm. And we actually
went for about an hour, and they actually did live questions from Twitter and from their forum. So that was really interesting to see that happening, because I think it's the first time they had that level of engagement. And also a good thing, because so many of the people in the community seem to have a misperception on this, as evident by the video. 854 likes and 3,700 dislikes. Apparently I'm missing a conversation in Skype regarding vitamins.
No, it was Paul trying to correct me.
Oh, okay. Well. Anyways, this Sunday, September 16th, 9 p.m. BST, just head on over to the RuneScape YouTube channel, youtube.com/RuneScape, and you'll be able to hear about bots.
Yes. And then we actually last week we actually touched on Squeal and what was the other one?
Solomon.
They're talking about that a little bit, and basically they said that they, you know, going to keep Solomon very cosmetic.
Cosmetic. So
it's very cosmetic, and also it's, you know, things that won't get you ahead, but it may be an official, such as the bank space.
Another example they gave from pertaining to Squeal was that you'll be able to get something that are like claws, but you won't be able to get the top claws in the game. So, for instance, there will be claws that are on the equivalent of bronze, adamant, and dragon, except the dragon ones, of course, won't have a special attack. So, I mean, there's just no way of saying they're kind of the same thing. So, overall, I think some good came from that, and definitely excited to see this progressing forward. So, all you guys out there who are free on Sunday afternoon, North American time, just head on over and watch this.
Very nice, very nice. Nice to see them doing this.
Yeah. Moving forward again on the combat beta, the extended schedule. So they're going to be having four more weekends of these, running from this weekend, the 14th, every other weekend through October 29th. So that pushes the combat beta release probably sometime in November or December. Also with this, if you haven't been able to pick up the Mad Scientist outfit pieces, you will be able to do that now. And for those of you guys listening early on Saturday or Sunday, this weekend's task is the Duel Arena. So I'll probably pop into friends chat sometime this weekend and ask for somebody to be a victim.
Okay.
So that's combat beta. Moving on now. Not much else this week. There's just another behind-the-scenes video pertaining to the new challenges system, which I assume will be out next week, and a bit of discussion on JAG, which we talked about on last week's show, JAGX Account Guardian. Which I think I'm going to add on at this point, because I was doing a bit of thinking in the post-show regarding JAG, and potentially it has the ability to make your account less secure in that your recovery questions are now tied to your JAG questions as well, and also the fact that you can't enter your own custom questions, which is kind of bad. But anyways.
But you could still make random answers. And
yeah, that's true, but it's you have to remember them somehow. I have a method of remembering them, but I'm not going to exactly say what that is right now. And actually, JAGX went as far as to say that because it emails you a link to fill in this JAG info, what they want you to do is turn on multi-factor authentication on your Gmail account to do this.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of silly on their point of view, given that they could implement this using Google's API and whatnot on their own. So, I mean, it would just be nice to have an official JAGX solution, not have to jump through hoops and having a rebranded recovery system, you know. That's kind of disappointing to hear that. But anyways. And for those of you guys wondering, this week means that there is no Squeal of Fortune or Solomon store update this week.
Oh my goodness.
Yep, so that's pretty much it for RS updates, except that if you guys have wide eyes, you'll note that RSBNB's interactive map did get mentioned in this week's community roundup, so that's nice of JAGX for doing that, and a map update is actually in the works.
Is that the second week in a row?
No, it's not second week in a row. It was 2 weeks ago that they mentioned Informer. But second time, yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean,
yeah,
it took,
and
like, several years, but it's not bad.
But, you know, it's also good because if you Google RuneScape map, our result is first.
Yeah. That's even above RuneScape's actual map.
that's pretty good. So,
They even introduced our mod mic. Oh, wait, oh, Mike. Never mind.
No.
See, I knew that would get Shane to laugh.
That's not the case, but We're going to move right on to questions now because it was probably a pretty quiet week. But you guys did come through, and we do have 5 audio questions for you this week.
Yay.
So that means that next week's show will indeed be live, so expect details to start flowing next week.
And thank you. That means I have to actually put on my shirt.
We're not doing video. We're just doing audio. So nothing to worry about. I don't have the resources to do video. I'm not. I wouldn't do a haphazard video production.
Yeah, besides, that wouldn't be actually showing your face, which, yeah. You know, Shane. Actually, if it was you, Shane, you'd probably put on a Spock mask.
No, I get my Mitt Romney mask that I'm gonna wear for Halloween. Oh. Like,
you're gonna scare all the little kids.
Jeez, you're gonna wear Mitt Romney mask in Canada? You're gonna scare everybody,
well,
man.
Last time in 2008 Halloween when it was an election year, I printed out some John McCain masks, and I strapped one of those around my head once when I answered the door.
Did you scare the little kids to death?
No.
They probably didn't even know who you were.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, let's move on to the questions. First one being from Marumska.
Question I would like to ask you is quite comical. What do you think about people living in dangerous places but with a choice? Example, houses that are right on a cliff, or, you know, the beach house that's sitting right on the edge of the sand. And when they have injury, falling off the cliff, or the house getting eroded by the sea, you know, people've got to see that coming, don't they? And when they get in trouble, you know, it takes them 3-4 hours to get to them. So I personally think we kind of deserve it. Anyhow, I hope we have a live show next week, and talk to you all next week. Godspeed. And a fine day escape to you all. Where'd that come from?
Alrighty, thank you, Marumska. So people who put their house at the top of a cliff or in the sea, what do we think of them?
That's called Pacifica. A couple of the last winter, there was actually a huge storm in the area, and basically a couple of houses just eroded from the cliff. But, you know, quite honestly, people go there.
Is that an act of God covered by insurance or no?
Covered by insurance? Hopefully they were. Insurance companies are not stupid. You're by the cliff. They know to jack up your rates in order to cover their losses. But, it basically an entire cliff site just disappeared. Most of it anyway. I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 houses, and the rest of the neighborhood was basically condemned for a good while, trying to figure out how to keep the houses here.
And that was local to you?
Yeah. Pacifica is basically a suburb of San Francisco. It's just really, really foggy over there. So, you know, they all lived over there, and primarily I think they did it just because they can live by the ocean and get good seafood and surf.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of their own choice for doing that, and hopefully the insurance would cover such a thing. But that is a risk. I mean, you have to know that when you move into a place like that, even if you're going to move into a place that's in an earthquake zone, that's something you have to be aware of. Do you want to live on the earthquake zone, or do you want to live in the stable bedrock up in the mountains or something like that?
or a hurricane zone. Don't forget about
Tornado Valley. Or in a city that's below sea level.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, everywhere is actually dangerous.
Yeah,
it's a dynamic world. I think the worst we have to worry about here is tornadoes.
Or lightning storms.
Or that. That's right.
Smart wildfires.
Someone's house got struck near here in this past summer.
Yeah.
Wonder what do you have to worry about in Vermont?
We had a tornado watch warning thing out last week. But it was all right. It wasn't the watch out, there could be tornadoes. It's watch out, the conditions are right for tornadoes.
Okay, but, I see.
We've had a couple earthquakes before. They're not like in Vermont, but we can feel them from somewhere else. We had flooding because of Irene last year. Not here, but down south, it was bad. But yeah, we usually don't get a whole lot of really terrible things happening here. So that's good.
Okay. Anybody have anything else on this one?
I got nothing. You know, everywhere's dangerous. You know, if you had a choice, you'd probably live in a dome. It's about the giant, you know, inside a giant bubble.
And even if you do live in a safe place, anything can happen, like a drive-by shooting or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, or a terrorist attack.
Or robbing, or a plane could crash into your house, you know, anything can
happen. Yeah, that's true. You know, there's so many planes that go over. People don't think about what happens if these planes start falling.
So, kids, if you thought you were safe, you're completely incorrect.
Shane, you do realize I live right above the airport right now. There's one right now.
Yeah, I've heard that
before.
You live
above the airport?
Oh, above their flight path.
Oh. Or above below the flight path?
Below their flight path. Flight path. Okay. You can hear one right
Alrighty.
Now.
Oh.
Well, I can't hear it today, so. Thank you, Maramska.
I wish I could live above them.
Living in the clouds.
I need to be living in space.
But, hey, I'll be the first man to live in space. I'll take it. Imagine all the pictures on my YouTube
remember
followers.
Remember the Airbnb moon colony? Isn't this the crew we had on for that episode?
Oh, yeah, the moon colony. I think we had more people on then, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mike on it as well?
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, thank you, Barabska, for that question. Next up is Jason C.
Hello, Silly Shane, Tumultuous Trekkie, Pretty Paul, and King Cola. Two questions to you guys this week. First, how do you keep your room, workspace, or living areas clean, neat, and organized? Second, if you could live in a fantasy world from any movie, TV show, or book, what would it be? Thanks, Jason.
Out of sight, out of mind.
If you don't see the mess, it's not actually a mess.
Yeah, or everything else has a use. My area is pretty clean, and basically my thing is my motto is one pen, one pad of paper, or two pads of paper, depending, and a few other little desk ornaments, and that's it.
My area just stays clean if I clean it up, but if it's messy, then I just don't bother to clean it up. Way too lazy to do that.
Yeah.
The only thing messy on my table is all the books that I have. Textbook. Those take up so much real estate, and you usually can't get rid of them because you actually need them in the future. You try to keep the ones that you like, quote unquote. And there's the other one. Yeah, basically, you know, Lysol wipe down the table, turn the keyboard. No, just, you know, once in a while, clean it up. Turn the keyboard upside down, give it a good shake.
Okay. Paul?
I don't know. I try to keep most stuff decent, but as long as it's not directly in my way, it's not really a problem. So that's good.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, what's next?
Oh, the fantasy world question. He already
Shane.
Answered.
Well, okay, so basically, Jason asked what kind of fantasy world you would live in. Shane would obviously say. Shane.
What would I say? You want me to say Star Trek, don't you? But
you're going to say Star Wars instead, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to say, if not Star Trek, I was going to say a world that's ideal in my point of view from a values perspective. And
So a true fantasy world then.
So basically a place where all liberals are hung and everyone who's gay is shot immediately.
No.
All liberals are well hung?
But all liberals are hung.
So Texas. No, I'm kidding.
No. I mean just a place that would have pretty much all the values and everything that I want the way the world to act and the way the world would carry its way out. So that would be the real fantasy world, but the alternate world would be Star Trek world.
It sounds like Shane wants to start a cult and try to change the world and then turn it into a religion.
I didn't say that.
Let's not have another Jamestown.
I'm pretty sure Shane wouldn't mind bringing Supreme Overlord.
I think we must have talked about this on another show, Shane's Dream World. I'm getting deja vu, I think.
it'd be a flat tax place. There'd be the death penalty. The governments would be held accountable for running budget deficits. If they did, they'd be thrown out. People would have to actually contribute and not leech off social assistance and everything like that. So,
right.
Okay. Paul, ideal world, fantasy world.
Oh, I don't even know. Like, Star Trek's kind of cool, but you got to pick one of the times where there's no wars going on. And
yeah, otherwise
like,
you'd
the
be
Borg's all dead and
that.
Everything. It'd make for terrible TV, but it'd be a good place to live, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to fight the Borg or fight the Dominion?
That'd be by me.
Paul, you'll be on the starship scrubbing toilets.
See, that'd be rather shitty.
Or he'd be the ship chef.
Do you trust Paul cooking?
Oh yeah, he'd be a purple very rare chef. Those ones that you get in your duty officer packs.
Okay.
Don't ask.
I can make stuff with meat, like steak and steak.
Yeah.
Like steak and steak.
That's all really good, you know.
Hello, fantasy world. Where would you live?
Well, I don't know. Most fantasy worlds that I see in games, there's always something wrong going on with them that you have to solve. Like, I was thinking about maybe the Mass Effect universe, but then, I mean, the Reapers come and destroy everything, so that's not a very good thing, right? Yeah. So, and everywhere else, there's like, war or internal strife going on, so all things considered, the world we live in is pretty good. So, I think I'd just stay where
we could just go with a few adjustments.
Yeah, a few things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sorry that's really boring, but maybe I'll think
it's
of
the truth. It's the truth.
Well, see,
Star Trek timeline would be probably the best time would be the Next Generation timeline.
At the end? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the universe of Super Mario Kart, where all you do is you drive around and have fun.
Yeah, because even the enemies in there get along just fine.
Yeah, they just kind of get spun around a few
place,
times.
In which case, yeah.
And they come back after they get shot with the little spinny shells.
Exactly.
You don't actually die. You just, you know. They're good.
Okay, how about the Mario world then?
Yeah. Unless you're a Goomba.
Mario world.
Kind of suck if you're a Goomba.
Becky, your turn right now.
Okay. I see. Well, if it was up to me, my fantasy world, I live in the Pokemon universe. No one ever dies. And I would be a Pokemon master, and I'll have an army of Pokemon to do my bidding. Only thing that would stop me would be a Pipa. There you go.
A what?
Well, people against abusive treatment of whatever treatment, whatever thingy.
People for the ethical treatment of Pokemon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I don't know how yours.
So basically, you want that first season episode where like all the Tentacool and Tentacruel are like, bombing the coastal city and whatnot. Well, like that episode actually ended up getting banned.
I remember that one.
Yeah,
if I live in the Pokemon universe, I'll stay in Kota region and just stay with 150 because I'm not going to deal with the 350 plus of us.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I lost it after the 150.
I mean, just give me Mewtwo and a Dark type Pokemon and maybe a couple other things and I'm good.
I just played through Blue last week. All of it.
Okay.
The old Blue
or
the
rare ones?
New Blue?
Yeah, the old one, normal one. It's the only Blue in my book. Actually, I didn't know that there was a different one until I started playing that one. So, yeah. What?
Basically, Nintendo basically released a new, quote-unquote updated version of Red, Blue, and Green. I think Yellow, too.
Terrible.
Yes.
Terrible. They shouldn't touch those. Those were the original ones, and people should need to play through them in their original glory.
Yes.
They're the best
I
ones, too.
I want to be the very best.
Da-na-na.
No one ever was.
I still maintain that Blizzard needs to work with Nintendo or something and make a Pokemon MMO.
The world
there is
end.
A Pokemon MMO. I just don't think it's authorized.
No, it's not. And
I've seen
those are
people in class playing it while they should definitely be paying attention to what's going on. And then like, oh my god, people don't know what's going on. I'm like, dude, you're playing Pokemon right now. What are you talking about?
Okay.
You told the guy this?
I didn't actually tell him that, but yeah. We were doing binary conversions, and
ooh.
We had to do some what's something with a I can't think of the name. I have to look at my notes, but it's like a something with Tessa ends with Tessa. I want to say
I don't know what you'd be talking about.
Man Tessa ends with
Man-Tessa. Oh yes.
Yeah,
right.
I've never heard of that before. And I was like, okay. And it's not hard to do. It's just I've never heard of it. And the people in the front of the class were generally understanding it. I was in the back of the class. I was taking notes. I was understanding this shit. And there's the guy sitting next to me was playing Pokemon the entire time. I'm like, dude, are you getting this? And he's like, oh, I can't believe that people aren't getting this. And I'm like, you're not even watching what she's doing. Yes. Yeah,
all righty. Thank you, Jason, for that question. Moving on to RR Man 100's question now.
Episode 14. Hey guys, it's RR Man. I thought I'd send in a question since I really want to hear what this live show is all about. First off, why five? Why do you want five questions? What's up with that? You could have gone for more. I'm sure a lot of people want to hear this. Okay, so that's more of a joke question, because I really don't know what to ask this week. But seriously, so when do you think the game is going to be renamed? We all know it's going to be renamed to Squealscape soon. Tricky is right. Every week there's an update for this thing. What are they doing? Do they seriously need to do it this much? And every week, people must be getting more and more annoyed. I'm not playing the game anymore, that's not why, but I have a feeling we're starting to lose it here. What do you guys think? This is RR Man. Peace out.
Okay, Shane,
okay,
why
so
five?
Why five? Five is just a nice number, and it's something I felt we could reach easily next week, or maybe after we do this twice, we'll go for six or seven or eight. But yeah, I just chose five because it was a nice number.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Squeal update this week.
For once. Maybe they would announce
it
tomorrow.
On the weekend, probably not. But if they did that, I'd suspect some kind of conspiracy to try and throw us off from discussing and analyzing it. But The thing is, Man, I'm not sure if you watched the live stream this past weekend, but in that stream, basically they said that through 2006, the tail end of 2006, 7, 8, 9, and 10, it wasn't until the second half of 2011 that they actually saw the game go up. Through those years, the game was in a terminal down spiral in terms of members and people playing the game. So when you combine that with the fact that they removed tons of subscribers who were paying with fraudulent credit cards for botting and whatnot, you can see that they would have been taking a significant hit in terms of raw revenue incoming. So basically what they said is it's either do what we're doing now with Squeal and Solomon's Store in order to future-proof this game so that we can bring the developers on that we need to make the changes that will make the game sustainable once again and bring people in once again and ensure that the game will be here 5 to 10 years down the road. So that was their whole thing regarding the Squeal thing from the live stream.
Oui?
Does anyone have anything else to add on that?
Not really, though. I didn't think that the subscribers had dropped that early. Like, they had just released RuneScape 2, didn't they? Like, way back when?
RS2 was 04.
Oh, like, I'm getting so old, guys.
Yeah. So 2007 heading on was pretty much downward rhythm, they said. So, and, you know, thinking about it, they're true in that it feels as though the game wasn't growing and the community wasn't as diverse as it was back then, now that they mention that. So, I mean, it's quite obvious now that they say that. So, essentially, they had to do what they had to do. It's either that or raise membership prices substantially. But, you know, if you raise membership prices, chances are you just cut people out. And I don't think we'd see many people playing RuneScape monthly if they had a membership price of $15 a month.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Yeah, so. Go for WoW at that point, I guess, maybe. That'd be on par versus price-wise.
Yeah, and then the thing is the value wouldn't even be the same. So, I mean, we're starting to see some of the new stuff with the new initiatives like HTML5, tablets, evolution of combat sort of thing as well. So, I mean, I know I sound like I'm just a defender here of Jagex, but I hear what they're saying with regard to the live stream, and I understand how that could be part of the problem as to why they would bring this in. And same goes with the evolution of combat. So they need to innovate the game, and everybody should know that companies who don't innovate ultimately end up dying. So
many MMOs recently are switching from the subscription model to the free-to-play with microtransactions instead.
Star Trek Online?
So many of them. And the Old Republic's going to be doing that soon, and even there's a question if... I forget that other MMO.
WoW?
But not WoW, but the other one of the huge ones... Of course, nothing's huge like WoW.
Because I did hear something that a year after this World of Warcraft expansion coming out at the end of the month, like a year from now, is Blizzard going to make WoW free to play? Because they have another MMO coming out. So
I wish they would get back to StarCraft Ghosts. It gives a whole backstory of one of the ghost specialists, Nova. Basically,
what
happened to
Bird War MMO.
No, it was going to be just another game, but they were talking about making a, you know, kind of like an RPG type of thing, but, you know, just didn't work out. It was sad.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Squeal update thing is, it's a piece of content that's in there, and people just have to avoid it if they don't like it, but we have to hope and believe that Jagex is actually doing this for the future of the game, because this is going to tie into one of our later audio questions from Uncle Dano. But first, actually, we've got an audio question from Brian.
Brian.
Dear hosts, where were you on 9/11? What were you doing? How were the people around you that day, and what did they think? Back then, we had a 10-inch 4x3 TV placed on the carpet to complement our bigger ones. This one was for informal viewings, and so I'd use it to watch cartoons every morning before school and during breakfast. That morning, CBC interrupted their children's programming with a CNN simulcast of the events happening in New York City. It was the first week of grade 1, and going to school that day, the kids were up to excited chatter. Those who bussed had to get the scoop on what had happened from those who had walked from nearby. I don't remember much, but our music teacher had been following the story quite closely throughout the morning. By the time we saw her, she seemed very shocked from this extraordinary event. I saw in her good and sympathy. She was not. Have a good show, Brian.
Okay.
Before we get answering to that, Kala, you had something to add. You remembered what you were just talking about.
Yeah. The one I was thinking of was Guild Wars 2, which is free-to-play as well.
Well, it's not free-to-play. You buy the game.
Well, yeah, you buy the game.
Microtransactions in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Brian's question. Okay. That was 11 years ago, so let's start with the youngest person here. Kala, where were you?
Where was I? Well, I would have been 11 at the time, so I probably would have been in grade 6. So, you know, it's really foggy. I don't even remember it that much. Like, not that I don't remember it, but that I don't remember doing anything significant. Like, I think I kind of just saw it on the TV screen, and my parents were watching it, and, like, there were buildings that were smoking, but I don't think it really clued into me. I think I was too young to really realize what had happened, you know? And I think a lot of people my age were at that point as well. Like, or, you know, we're kids, are going along, the world's fine, you know. You're invincible as a kid, you know. Nothing bad ever happens to you. And then seeing something like that happens, it's just so weird and alien that you don't really know what to make of it. And then it didn't. And then I think I went to school that day, and then, I don't know, I went there, and everyone's talking about it, and I'm not sure what it is that they're talking about, so. It didn't really clue in until probably a few years later when I looked back on it. Like, but I think for quite a few years, I just thought of 9/11 as some planes crashing into buildings. I didn't really think of it as a huge symbol or so many people had died or whatnot, you know. I think a lot of people my age were like that as well.
Okay.
Paul?
I was in 7th grade, I want to say. Something like that. And back then we had our... the routines were something to the effect of you had four topics. It was math, science, language arts, and history, and our social studies. And you go and... depending on which day it was, you'd have one first, and, you know, it just depended on the day. And I just remember going into my social studies classroom, and there was a TV on in there, and the teacher's like, I don't know if you guys have heard. And I thought it was, like, completely unrelated. And I said, oh, da-da-da. He's like, no. And I didn't know what the heck the World Trade Centers were at the time. And I just remember all the teachers were shocked, and... I think it was a full day of school, and then we went home, and then for the next, I don't know, week or so, it was all that was on the TV at all. It doesn't matter what channel you were on. And I was just kind of ticked, because I remember, you know, I like to watch, well, not news, and I didn't have cable up till, like, 2007. And when it's a national crisis, you know what's on every station? The national crisis. You know how boring that is to watch as a 12-year-old? Really? Mm-hmm. Or 10-year-old? Really, really, really boring. It's the same stuff over and over and over again. Like I mean, now I know the difference, but God, I just remember that being so boring. I'm like, oh my God, let me just watch, pick random show and insert it here. Like, even PBS was showing that. I liked watching PBS, but it was like 9/11 stuff constantly. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes.
Reki?
I just got to school, and I was getting ready to start music class. And second thing, principal got an announcement, school was dismissed because of the terrorist attack. So basically, we all got sent home. So we all got sent home, and I just turned on the TV, and you know, just was watching it with the family, just seeing what the heck was going on. I mean, you know, next day we went back to school and all that kind of stuff, and we had to all be like, well, how do you feel about 9/11 and all that kind of stuff? And I was talking to one of my teachers. He actually said that when he saw the pictures of the Trade Center's fall, that he actually cried. He actually broke down and cried.
Okay. Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure if you had anything else.
It's funny because we actually did hear crickets.
It's such a question. The crickets just have to chime in. But if you don't have anything else, I'll go.
The window was closed. I can't do anything about it.
I was in grade 9, and at the time, it was, I believe, the second week of school. It happened because of our proximity in the Mountain Time Zone. This happened, of course, before everyone went to school, and everybody went here. Everybody pretty much treated like a normal day. So, of course, the first I heard of it was on the morning news here before I left, and quite frankly, it was I think the best way to describe it would be a surreal experience. The immediate ramifications of it probably didn't appear until a month or so later, when the war on terror started, which is up for debate if that's still going on now. But clear to say, it was a pretty big situation, and I think you could call it this generation's Pearl Harbor, if not worse.
Yes, it wasn't as bad as Pearl Harbor, I don't think. But in terms of ramifications, we didn't get into World War III.
Well, that's up for debate as well.
Yeah, you haven't been listening to the podcast now, have you? Or talked with Shane recently, have you?
Nope. Well, we haven't lost literally hundreds of thousands of people.
No country
has lost hundreds of thousands of people at this point.
But the thing is that you could say that it's worse than Pearl Harbor because of two reasons. First one, it was on continental U.S. soil. And secondly, it was carried out not by a military, but by extreme radicals targeting innocents and not a military base.
Yeah, or you could say they believe all the... Go ahead, you finish up first.
I was going to say, they hit the Pentagon, but I think that wasn't their main target.
Or you can believe all the conspiracy theories about setting off explosions and...
No, that anybody who believes that needs to go live in a hole somewhere and segregate themselves from the world.
Well, there are also people who believe that George Bush was an actual lizard in a human costume.
Yeah
that's about as extreme as these... as these 9/11 conspiracy theories.
You guys actually don't believe that he was a lizard?
No.
He's a snake, but, you know, that's totally...
I just watched a good documentary on his dad, and I can tell you he's not a lizard.
Okay.
Anybody have anything else on this?
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, to lizard talk, of all things, on such a...
Yeah, let's slither our way back to the point of discussion.
yes. So, okay. Now, rather than what you thought then, what do you guys think now of the 9/11 attacks?
To be honest, in about a couple more years, no one's gonna remember a damn thing.
Which is a problem.
I don't know.
And I think will happen is that we make it into another war with Iran if we do. So I don't know yet, but something will happen. We may go to war in Iran, and then we'll suddenly get like a billion Facebook posts saying that, quote unquote, oh, this is payback for 9/11. I was like, they were not involved, you stupid idiot.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing, but I think if anything, 9/11 woke up the world into keeping track of what the radical nations of the Middle East are doing.
I basically woke up U.S. technology capability, because now we have more, almost, well, for every 5 servicemen we have over there, there's one robot, whether it be a UAV or a bomb disposal unit or whatever. So, you know, that's what really changed, was the fact that, you know, when we first went to Iraq and Afghanistan, we had maybe like, I think the number was like a couple hundred robots, and right now there's a couple thousand over there doing everything from, you know, removing a bomb, checking for bombs, to, you know, blowing people up from 10,000.
Did you guys see that thing, how Russia's going to have an automated nuclear bomber by 2030?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Considering it's Russia, you know what is it going to be, right? It's going to be some guy inside with a joystick who's going to bail out at the last second.
Just like the whole Putin thing was faked. Okay. Any other thoughts about what it means now, 11 years later?
All I got to say is watch the South Park episode where they parody 9/11 conspiracy theories. That basically
That's
explains everything.
That's what I
that
just is. Posted, man. Yeah. The mystery of the Journal Deuce. It's good.
Yes.
Season 10, episode 9. I don't think I could condone such a thing like that.
That's okay.
Shane, honestly, if it was a documentary, you would love it.
That is true. And if it was a little bit more clean, but... another thing I think it did is it completely changed the airport security model here. Probably not for the better compared to just look at Israel's airport security systems. So we're still feeling that every time you travel through a U.S. airport.
Oh, it's annoying now. I have to check every little water and the TSA isn't helping.
Security theater to the max.
So far, TSA has been... a lot of flack for doing really stupid things. One of the most infamous one was where TSA actually searched a little, 5-year-old girl. It was just... Oh.
And this is all because of the TSA views themselves as, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't want to appear racist, so they don't do racial profiling. Anyways, anything else here before we move on to Uncle Dano's question?
I wish they would have a chair for you at the airport for you to sit down and put back your shoes after you took them off.
That's true.
I think it's probably the defining moment of the last 20 years or so in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you guys think of something else that has defined society the way that we live right now?
Well, other than Shane that? Being born, I don't know.
Oh.
The iPhone.
not
as much as September 11th, but the iPhone is probably a close second.
A close second? Are you kidding me?
I said, a close second.
Not even close to being close.
What would you guys say is number two?
Number two.
The pervasiveness of the internet. I mean, it's not something in the last 30 years, unfortunately, but it was pervasive within that period of time.
A black president?
That's not that great, though.
that was to be expected. I'm sure in 2016 it'll be a female president.
Are you blaming 9/11 on Mr. Obama?
Who?
What?
It's the defining moment of the last 30 years is the black president, and he's more important than 9/11. Well, that's why it was insinuated here.
No, Shane said, well, it's the second thing that was considered about the, you know, on par with life-changing event, and I said the black president. Whether it's good or bad, it's totally up to you.
I like how you call him the black president instead of Obama. I mean... What's the second most defining moment? The black president.
The black guy, you know.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, these people here who might sound a little bit eccentric, they are perfectly legit and fine individuals. They're not racist at all. And with that being said, we are now moving on to Uncle Dano's question.
Good. Need to be more wholesome anyways. Uncle Dano greetings, will bring
it is once again none other than Uncle Dano here. You know me, I can't resist an audio question challenge, especially when it involves the potential for you to record a live show, which I do so enjoy. So my question to you all is about your end game. That is, if you have one. Do you see yourselves actually having an end game when it comes to RuneScape? As you're fully aware, there's a large contingent of players that are older, beyond the high school or college age group. Yes, I did say older and not old. So as you realize, even for players like myself, RuneScape is a game you could still enjoy as you grow older. For myself, I really do not see myself as having an endgame. In fact, even though I'm not a grandpa yet, Trekkie, I can imagine myself and my grandchild someday sitting down.
Grandpa, can you show me how to kill Dad again? Sonny, again? How about I show you how to take down the Queen Black Dragon today?
So what about you guys? What does your distant RuneScape future look like to you? Thank you for taking my audio question. And as always, I bid you Godspeed. And another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Okay. You know, in my day, we didn't have all this contraption. We actually had mouse and keyboard. We actually had to physically move the little cursor thingy. And you actually press buttons to make text appear on this contraption of yours, you know? Okay,
and back in the old days, apparently we also had bad internet connections.
Actually, back in the old days, we actually knew Mr. Steve Jobs.
Back in the old days, we couldn't just control things with our mind. We actually had to press a button to make it do something.
Okay, RS Endgame. Assuming I were to find a greater interest in RS and start a second account, I would not rush to get 99s. I would actually do things differently, much the way that Uncle Dano and other certain members of our community do. Because, quite frankly, you rush all the way to 99. It's tough, tedious, boring. And in the end, you don't really get much aside from a few pixels. So that's my reason for not rushing to 99 anymore. So, I mean, I've thought about this before, starting another account, just getting 99 farming again and doing things a lot differently this time around. And if RuneScape is still around in 5 to 10 years, I might very well do that. So, I mean, it's definitely Shane12088 is not going away anywhere, that's for sure. So.
Okay.
Anyways.
Actually,
I will state that if I do manage to get Shane12088 to where I want, I'll probably, I mean, the thing about RuneScape is it's just so hard to keep it at a certain state because so many updates keep coming out and you want to keep advancing it that way. But I don't know. I mean, that's the only reason why I haven't done that so far. It's because new updates come out and I want to stay on top of them with an account that can do them. So, anyways. Everyone else?
All right, Kala, why don't you go first, as you and Paul are basically on the same boat.
Well, as far as the end game goes, since I already haven't played RuneScape in a very, very long time, I think the end game for games like RuneScape, where there's just so much to do that it's almost impossible to complete every single little thing you can in the game, I think the end game really is when you decide that you've had enough and you want to go on to something else, or you just don't feel like playing the game anymore and you just end up quitting, and then you just don't come back to it because you find other things to do, other games to play. So that was my end of game, basically. I came to that realization a few years ago.
Yeah, kind of the same thing here. I got what I wanted out of it, and then the game ended when I stopped paying for membership. because free to play at my level is rather meh.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's still good. I mean, if I still had interest in it, there's still plenty to do, especially after not having played for a couple of years.
You could get a trimmed completionist cape.
I don't know what the heck that is.
It's a cape where you, for doing every little task, every little activity in the game, 5,000 Castle Wars games, that sort of thing.
Holy. Yeah, I don't have that kind of time. Nor am I that bored.
There have been a few people that have done that.
I feel sorry for them.
I don't have much of a social life, but even I have more of a social life than that. 5,000 Castle games? Castle Wars games?
Oh, that's my God. Rather crazy.
Forever. There's no way to speed those up. It just... I mean, if you... you win at 3, right? Or no? Is it just whoever gets... Okay.
Whoever gets the most in 20 minutes.
So yeah, 20 minutes then. Yeah, 20 minutes times 5,000 plus the wait time in between.
Well, if you started today and you continued on...
And by the time I finished...
It would take you 13 years doing one Castle Wars game a day to accomplish this.
Holy balls.
Keyword, one Castle Wars a day.
Yeah. No. Even then.
So, I mean, I know for me, Endgame is not a completionist game. So, I mean, it'll be something along the lines, like I said, of either deciding that I've had enough or I want to do things differently. Which, you know, I might want to do because I did this character in a very specific way. It was a character that trained and leveled up the most efficient way, the fastest way possible. Even if that was the most boring way, it didn't really add much diversity to the sauce. So, I mean, it might be a bit different that way, but... Trekkie?
Okay. My end game? Make my character's hair white and make my mustache white. Basically, basically, you know, I told myself many years ago that if I ever get max combat, which... In Evolution Beta, I will be Max Combat. I will make my character have white hair and a white mustache to show that he has aged gracefully and can still fight.
Okay. I still wish there was a way to make your character like fatter, skinnier, and make him frail or less frail, you know? So.
I would make him short. I'm making him a midget. Yeah. Wouldn't you love... people. Wouldn't you love to be able to run up to a guy in PvP and instead of fighting normally, just, you know, sat down and stab up? Okay, I'm done.
You mean chop his legs off?
No, stab, not chop.
Oh,
stab,
okay.
Stab, stab.
There you go. Stab, stab, stab. So, yeah, that's pretty much where we are here. I mean, I don't know if RuneScape will be around in 30 to 40 years for our grandchildren, but if it is, it'll probably be a very different game, and who knows what kind of management it'll be under, and even if our stats and achievements will remain for that long.
Okay.
So, thank you, Uncle
Thanks,
Dano.
Mr.
Anybody
Dano.
Have anything? Anybody have anything else here?
Nope.
Anything else? We look forward to seeing and hearing you guys next week.
Well, I meant for the question, of course.
I know, but I just thought I'd throw that in now.
All right. Next question from Duke Juker, then. Paul, you can read it.
Alrighty. Dear hosts, what one feature would you like to see added to RuneScape, and why? From Duke Juker. Anybody have a thing they really, really, really want to have?
I always think of these while I'm playing, but when it comes showtime, I can't remember. So go ahead.
Finish off Regicide.
Okay, there we go. Yes, that's it. That's for me, too. Yeah. Yes. A feature I'd really like to have would be a complete UI rework, actually. That would be really nice. Because what we have is we have this UI that carried over from RS Classic to RS2 and then just evolved over time to try and fit what the game is now, and it really needs an entire rethink on the way it works. So that, and maybe a complete blowing away of the smithing skill.
This is, I wouldn't mind seeing it. Well, not that I would definitely come back, but I wouldn't mind seeing another skill get added, since the last skill it was added was summoning, and that was over 3 years ago.
No, the last skill added was dungeoneering.
I didn't make a mistake. I said the last skill was added was summoning.
Oh, I see.
That's the joke, .jpg.
But actually, they announced a while back they're planning to release a new skill next year. A second quarter or third.
Say they're really out of date in terms of adding stuff.
Well, that's because this year's been entirely on the evolution of combat.
Not this year. They're over 2 years, 2 months, and 28 days since Dungeoneering was added. And they were, before that, averaging 9 months or even less.
That's what happens when bots come around.
Like 1 year, 9 months, 5 months, 10 months, 5 months, 1 year, 1 month, 25 days,
yeah,
2 years,
yeah,
two,
you know,
months.
That was really great
days.
Waking up to see a skill unexpected like Slayer and Construction. We really didn't expect those two, and I didn't know what I was getting into when we saw Farming, but I'm glad that skill came out. Hunter, we all liked Hunter, and Summoning,
Hunter.
Best part about summoning is that it will no longer be a combat skill once the evolution of combat comes out. So.
And I'll be back.
I'd like to actually see more land masses added to the game. More areas that's harder to get to, because practically everywhere on the map now you can get to through a teleport or a lodestone teleport. So it's quite easy to get to places now. So I'd like to see it like it was back in the olden days, where you're leveling up and you practically have to walk across half the landmass in order to get somewhere. So that's what I'd like.
Okay.
What about you, Kala?
Is it the point again?
I am honestly not sure what I would add to it. Maybe, I was thinking maybe flying mounts. That would be cool to just fly around above the game world. But not sure. Not sure what a serious proposal I'd add to the game. Or I'd go with a new skill. Something that we haven't heard before. Something like sailing.
Well, player owned parts are coming out later this year.
Yeah. Player owned quartz?
Ports.
Ports. So you can actually have your own boat.
Yeah, like for boats. Yeah. We don't exactly have much info behind them, but they are coming out sometime this year. Anyways, thank you, Duke Juker. We pretty much handled that question. So this did mean that we did have 5 audio questions. So next week's show will be recorded live on Mumble. Time to be announced. And we will probably be testing out our abilities to have people commentate live on questions. We'll probably come up with 2 or 3 discussion questions and get people to come in for a minute or two and talk about that, depending on the update. So you should probably head on into our Mumble server and check out if your microphone works and everything like that, because you can use your headphones to listen, but we'd also like to have some contribution from you guys as well, if possible. So there'll be a link in the notes at update.rsbnb.com how you can get the information to our Mumble server and how you can join it. All right, time for tech news.
All right. God, I wish I was in Kansas.
So we're
going
to start
right
with the... Google to blanket Kansas City with super fast internet.
And that's also that's both Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas.
It is?
Okay.
Yep, they're doing both. I think they're starting off with the Kansas one first, though, I want to say. They're doing one of them first. The other one's going to be the next year, or a year later in any case.
And didn't they need to get a certain number of pledges?
Yeah, for this they to have like a 90%, not approval rating, but 90% of the neighborhoods that the Fiberhood. Yeah, 90% of the Fiberhoods that could have been in existence did get approval already. So that's not bad. So that's good for them.
It's going to be a while before it comes to Vermont, Paul.
Yeah.
It's actually sad.
Well,
why is that?
San Francisco was supposed to get free wireless internet across the city by Earthlink, and the contract fell through because Earthlink wasn't budging.
Yeah,
they wanted more, and they weren't doing their job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, quite honestly, look, government job, I didn't see that going through anyway.
Okay. It also says Google will be offering a variety of packages to people, including 1,000 megabits per second internet access for $70 a month, the same service with a TV package for $120 a month, or completely free at regular speeds requiring a one-off $300 construction fee. That's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
$300 construction fee.
I know here our TV and internet bill is definitely $150 a month at least.
Really?
Yeah.
My dad's place, we get TV, internet, info for $50, and the speed is quite good. You have to go in and call them and say, I'm going to cancel, so hook me up or I quit, and usually they'll do it.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's exactly what my dad did. He was asking, should he downgrade the service, and I said, just call them and say you're canceled. That's what he did. Next thing they know is like, sir, sir, instead of cancel, we don't want to lose you as a valuable customer. So what we'll do, we'll give you the special deal. Well, actually, no, wait, they're Indian, so it'll be more of a...
We'll give you the special deal.
And you know, the internet connection that you got here doesn't exactly sound like a top-tier internet connection the way it's coming through right now.
Yeah. Yes, but
well, they don't like us making fun of their accent on the 11 here.
Yes, but Shane, you do realize that I did break the sound drive or whatever thing I got on my laptop.
Oh, really?
Theory.
Thanks for telling me that, right?
In theory.
Now.
I told you that almost every other week because you keep complaining.
It's the first time I've heard of it.
Perks to the basic gigabit internet service will also include a complete lack of data caps and a 1 terabyte of Google Drive cloud store space, while customers shelling out the full 120 will receive 2 terabytes of local hard disk space and a Nexus 7 tablet to be used as a TV remote. That's a pretty good deal. I wish they'd do this kind of stuff in Canada.
I wish they would do that everywhere. That's kind of the whole point, I guess, though, if they can get...
Hey, I got an idea for 2016. The Google Party, in addition to the Democrats and the Republicans.
No.
You'd have to have more... I don't know.
Yeah, if the Google Party wins 5%...
Libertarians.
If Google actually gets more than 5% of the vote, it's basically a shame to our system. And if they do get 5% of the vote, it's all just for laughs to see how far I can keep it going.
Well, I'm sure you guys would both vote for the Google Party.
Oh.
I don't know enough about their politics to vote for the Google Party. You have to see
I think they support Obama.
What else? I don't know. I think they do as well. I wouldn't doubt it.
Anyways, so that's good if you live in Kansas. If you're a listener and you live in Kansas, get in contact with us.
Well, only in Kansas City, Kansas, or a suburb of there, because that would be easy enough to roll out to. But if you're, 300 miles away from those locations, then you kind of don't matter just as much as we don't. So.
Okay, Kansas City then, please. All right. The iPhone 5. Did somebody shift my list of tech news around? I put the iPhone 5 last.
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
I don't think.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, the iPhone 5 is out, much as expected. I think the best way of summing it up is a larger screen, faster CPU, and less weight.
And the rumors were all correct, so yep.
So we'll trust all the Apple rumors in the future.
Very incremental update to the iPhone line, as per usual.
Yeah, and you know it's Apple, so it's got to be...
So, yep.
And, you know, also, don't forget... you basically need to change all of your adapters now. They're all useless.
Yeah, there was a little scandal thing going on. Apparently, the pre-order was today? Yesterday?
Yeah, today.
Today? And if you pre-ordered, it would say online that you could purchase a second adapter because your phone would come with an adapter, with that lightning adapter, I think they're calling it. Right? Or
yeah,
Thunder adapters. Yeah.
No,
which
lightning.
I thought it was like going to be a Thunderbolt thing, but no, it's still a USB 2.0. I don't get that. But in any case, but no, they had misinformed people on the website, and no, you indeed do not get an adapter. So a lot of people purchased or pre-ordered thinking they would get an adapter, so we'll have to see how that pans out. It was a mistake, but... people thought they were getting something.
I think
something
they have to give a
free
adapter free. Because of that.
You'd think so, but we'll see how it turns
just
out.
Just like when they gave free sleeves for the iPhone 4 when they had their antenna issues.
Antenna gate. Stupid thing.
Yeah. Also with this, the square iPod Nano is gone. Replaced with a iPod Nano that looks much like previous Nokia and Samsung offerings, right?
Yes.
Should Plus Samsung they're getting sued. Nokia sued?
Yep, they're getting sued from Samsung regarding their LTE implementation. So.
Well, there we go. It just keeps going round and round, and Paul, you're buzzing.
Yeah, I stuck the different laptop on my lap. I had to reboot it.
So I hope Nokia wins.
Nokia.
Well, no,
wins.
No. This isn't about the iPod Nano. This is about using the trademark LTE in their phone.
Although I kind of hope that they get sued because of design things as well, but we'll see. If you can patent,
I don't think Nokia would go up against Apple.
Microsoft might, but I doubt they would. However, Samsung, they're more than willing to go up against Apple.
And not Motorola as well, considering Apple is suing Motorola for the click and drop thing of your icons.
Oh, really?
Is that apparently in Germany right now, what happened was they're suing Motorola because, you know, the whole, if you hold onto an icon and drag it, it kind of just centers back when you let go. They're suing them for that.
That's
okay. Now this is the point where it gets stupid.
Yeah. Oh, it got stupid way before this point.
I know, but I mean, just going this far is even stupider.
Yeah. Yeah. The things you can patent in this country are stupid, and not even that you can patent them, that the patents last for so long, for such...
Apple patented a cardboard box.
So minute.
For their packaging.
Yeah, their packaging techniques. Although, I know my HP touchpad and all the accessories I bought for that were packaged really nicely. I've still got the boxes for most of them. They were wrapped all up, and they looked nice. And it's like, they're taking some cues from Apple.
Well, taking a cue from Apple, so... Also, iOS 6 release next Friday, so I am anticipating that.
Anything huge in iOS 6?
iPad gets Siri.
Okay.
My iPhone doesn't get turn-by-turn directions.
Yeah. See, that thing about Siri is that everything should have Siri. You can it doesn't run any of the computations.
Yeah. But the thing is though, they needed to do this because
freaking first gen iPods. What's the problem?
But the thing is, they needed to do it to have a selling point for the iPhone 4S because they needed to release a new iPhone in order to keep the profits up on the iPhones because they couldn't keep selling it. They couldn't keep selling something called the iPhone 4 and just quietly bump the CPU specs. They could do that, but
app and people are
they could, but they wouldn't get the bump in the market that they need or that they want like to get from this. Also, notice that these events took place 2 weeks before the fiscal year end, so these sales will be recorded in this fiscal year, providing
that
a nice bump.
You know,
that probably wasn't super smart. I'd put it on the next year's. But
yeah, well, actually, one other little thing that I found out yesterday. Siri for the iPhone 5 works very well with Facebook, apparently. You can literally tell post Siri copy blah 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 post onto Facebook. Okay, done. Put image on.
Yeah, you know, one day we're gonna get strange things being posted to Facebook and Twitter now because Siri's getting the capability to do that. So,
can you imagine the autocorrects?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Actually, what I'm hoping for someone would do is somebody with an iPhone 5 turn, have them to wait till they turn on Siri and then shout into, post onto Facebook. I'm a stupid whore. Run.
Yes. Well, doesn't it usually make you confirm that stuff? Or no?
Yeah, it makes you confirm before you post or send a message anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Super whore,
then,
confirm. Run.
Like, did you want to post to some other guy? Yeah, confirm. Run. Woo.
All right. Anything else on this besides the fact that Ping will be dead as of September 30th, which is Apple's social network?
What's Ping?
Apple had a social network.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Ping.
It was called Ping. It's a piece of junk, and that's why it's leaving.
Isn't it interesting that Google Plus survived more than Ping?
Ping was going to have a Facebook tie-in. They did for like the first day, then Facebook cut them off because they didn't get permission first. And if they would have had the Facebook tie-in, it would have been maybe better, but they didn't. So,
but the thing is, that's not needed anymore because in Mountain Lion, you can share your iTunes song recommendations through Twitter, and once iOS 6 comes out, you'll also be able to share iOS or iTunes stuff rather through Facebook using iTunes. So really, there's no need for Ping at this stage. They're just piggybacking on Twitter and Facebook. So, this is what I said before. We're at a stage where there's no need for any future social networks because two main ones have been established, and everybody else is going to be extraneous and no point. Anyways.
By two main ones, do you mean Facebook and MySpace?
No, Facebook and Twitter.
And Google Plus.
Facebook for people sharing personal stuff, and Twitter for stars sharing their pictures and hipstergram stuff. And
yeah, that's the thing. I don't really consider Twitter a social network. Because it's more like a up-to-date news source. Or
it's basically...
To find out what celebrities are doing, not to talk with your friends.
It's basically telling your life story. It was like, I just woke up. I just had something for breakfast. I'm not going to take a shower. I'm not going to hang out with friends. I'm not going to go to the. Ooh, I found a pretty burger. Ooh, I'm going to eat lunch now.
Of course, people use Facebook for the same thing, right?
No, Facebook
because
is
maybe
more posting
do people
pictures.
On Facebook want to actually care about that? I don't know. Anyway, so that's enough about Apple in this. We'll have some iOS 6 discussion next week. Moving on, the Wii U will retail for $299, releasing on November 18th in the U.S. What do you guys think?
What was the game lineup? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I am not sure on that.
Super Mario Party 64 HD.
Serious? Done. Next. No.
that's what they've tended to do. Come out with literally the same thing, slap an HD on the end, and go.
Oh, so kind of like iPhone. Just put a new number in, people go crazy over it.
No, they're kind of doing things differently because it's a new piece of hardware entirely. And
yep, it's good on them. They're finally going to be HD.
Finally.
They're going to have, yeah. They're going to have the touchpad controller thing.
Which I think is really great. I think this is Nintendo's strong suit nowadays.
The problem I have with they kept the Wii name, which is like, why didn't you just, that's, I mean, I understand the whole brand recognition thing, but just put a Nintendo on, people will buy it. You could change the name, make it more manly.
Well, it's Nintendo Wii U.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Of course people will buy it. I mean, this thing's going to sell out probably just like the Wii initially did.
Yeah, well, I just want to put the game lineup, but, you know, and it's interesting because a while back, people actually thought that, Nintendo would have released a high-definition version of the Wii many, many years ago. It just took a lot longer than it should have been.
Yeah. And that's kind of annoying given the fact that the Xbox and PS3 were HD from the very beginning.
But, and it also took them forever to get Call of Duty 4 on there, but that's a whole different thing. But my little pet peeve with Nintendo is you're trying to get hardcore gamers back into Nintendo. You're not going to get hardcore gamers back by having something called the Wii U.
Why not? It's Nintendo.
No one can take you seriously when you're playing with your Wii all the time.
Yes, exactly.
But that's not the point. The point is it's Nintendo, and it's the Wii, which is an iconic name.
It's a great party console. If you have real-life friends, it's fantastic to have a Wii. Same thing with all of the other Nintendo products. But until like the Xbox 360 and the PS3, they're not as necessary to have people sitting next to you, but for a Wii and stuff, it's nice just to have people and anyone just pick up one of those games and just start playing. That's not hardcore gaming.
And I think that's what Nintendo casual, wants to be in this day and age.
They do just great doing that, and they should keep doing it.
But there's one little problem with that, though, is the fact, look at all the shovelware we have for the Wii right now. We have Hannah Montana game for the Wii. There's enough shovelware thing to...
How do you know this?
It's called actually going to the store and looking what's there, Shane.
Okay.
You know, it's the thing that you're supposed to do, you know, Shane, to open the door and see the sun. You know, did you ever do that within this lifetime, you know? Okay. I mean, I know you don't go shopping very much, but at least go once in a while, right? You'll see it. And, you know, one thing that's about the Wii is that, you know, it's nice to have four people play in one room and not worry about split screening and all that stuff. But it's like you're trying to get the hardcore gamers back into your system, and unless you're going to have some crazy, to have their staples, Mario, Zelda, Samus, Super Smash Brothers Brawl, I don't know, what would be this time, Wii U 2 edition. It's still primarily going to be, you know, for you to play with your kids. And you have kids, that's great. You know, Uncle Daniel probably have a blast with a Wii U with his 14-year-old son. You know, shaking that Wii everywhere. Okay, let's move on. Dang it. Laugh, Cola, laugh. One time I'm going to laugh.
I should just keep laughing. That's all I can do. I don't know about the Wii.
All right.
You... To me, it still sounds
anything
like if people
else
were
here?
Talking about it, I might mistake it for a fire truck.
Wee-oo.
All right.
I've never been interested in a Nintendo console since, like, the 64. I mean...
GameCube was my last system. After that, I switched to PC because I realized I don't have many games anymore. I just stop. Save my money. Okay.
Okay, then. Moving on. The Skill of the Month updated is thieving still, and the Lion 777 is still in the lead. 4.1 million experience gained. Second place is Brian B. with 1.6, and third place is Flash with roughly 820,000.
Very nice.
And third, fourth, and fifth are somewhat neck and neck, so let's see who's going to be third.
Yeah, or, you know, if the line were to stop right now, I'm sure somebody could catch him if they wanted to.
Well, you plateaued a little bit, but basically so did everyone else.
Yeah.
All right, achievements of the week. We got two of them this week. Paul, you can take the first one.
The first one is Touchpad Pro with 99 range on September 12th.
And the second one being Biscuit, 99 woodcutting on September 11th.
Celebrating style. Congratulations, folks.
Okay, pick time.
Alrighty, for the pick, I threw up Black Mesa Source, the long-awaited Half-Life 1 remake from a bunch of indie developers. Since Valve no longer requires you to actually own a Source-based game to play mods, all you have to do is go to their site, download it, and as long as you have Steam, you should be set. It creates Half-Life 1 using the Source engine, so it's up to date according to 2007 standards. I haven't gotten very far in it yet, but it seems very Half-Life 1-esque, considering so it's Half-Life it's 1, that makes
wasn't
sense.
Wasn't Half-Life and, 1 1995?
99, I believe.
98.
Oh, okay.
98? Yeah, actually, that sounds right. But yeah, it's been a while. So, it's an okay game, but it's kind of buggy. In terms of, like, you can definitely screw yourself over. Like, if you kill somebody, you can't get through a door, for example, in many instances, which isn't super useful. But, I don't know. I haven't gotten too far through. I'm probably, like, a half hour to 45 minutes in. But I would definitely recommend
checking it out. And it's
completely free, so you can't really go wrong with it. What?
So is this basically like a complete remake of Half-Life 1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The only thing you waste by doing this is
bandwidth. That's
the bandwidth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 3-point something to download, and then it'll extract, and it's 7 or 9 or something. I don't know.
And it probably would be less if you already have some kind of if you have the mod kit installed. I assume.
No, it's an archive that you download, so it extracts.
Oh, okay.
And then you have to have the Source SDK already installed, I believe. But that's free, so. Okay. And it should be showing up on Steam at some point. It did get approved for Greenlight, so it'll just, once it comes out, right now it's not finished. We're still missing the end, I don't know, like fifth of the game or something like that when you go to Zen and... Or fight Zen. I don't remember the terminology for Half-Life 1. But in any case, it's not completely finished, but it's pretty darn close considering this thing was started in 2004 or something. 2005. It is a long time in the making. So it's finally somewhat out. And they also have...
They could make Half-Life 3.
Oh, God, I wish some would make Half-Life 3. They also have the assets for sound and I think wallpapers on their website if you just want to grab those as well, I believe.
Well, you know, Paul, they've come
out. Reed has grabbed some music.
They've now come out with Half-Life 1, right? And then they came out with Half-Life 2.
Yes.
1 plus 2 equals 3, so Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Oh my god. There came out Left 4 Dead 1, Left 4 Dead 2, so Left 4 Dead 3. And then Portal 1, Portal 2.
Portal 3.
Oh my god. Team Fortress
1. Team Fortress 2. TF3.
Oh my god.
So it 1 plus 2 equals 3 then. No, they're just learning that 1 plus 2 is equal to 3. But anyways, thank you for this pick.
We're good at math.
Yes. And just a reminder that we do post this show and other RSBNB happenings on Twitter. So RSVP update articles, lots of Paul's face on there for retweeting events and whatnot. So,
yep. Which I will mention.
You can find us and follow us at twitter.com/rsbnbstaff.
Indeed.
Cool.
And while we're on reminding things, next week's show will be live. And as I mentioned, you can find the link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to figure out how to join the Mumble server, to listen, and maybe even talk at us. So please do that next week. So what have we been doing? Let's start with King Kala.
Well, it's been a very long time since I came on the show, so I think I should mention that this past summer I went to Alberta. And during that time, I visited with Shane and Mike, and they're very wonderful people, and yes, they are real, and yes, they are two different people. I can now confirm that.
Did you take a picture of Shane?
I actually don't have any pictures, because I didn't have my camera, so...
You don't have your phone with you?
No pictures, no proof.
No, no. So you'll just have to take what I say and assume that I'm being truthful about it. So, before I left, I actually got a new gaming computer, which Shane and Mike and I, and with a bit of help from Paul, finally got it running perfectly now. We had to tweak a lot of the settings to get it to work, but it's perfectly fine now, and it is a dream. Like, my goodness, what have I been using my entire life up until this point? So, other than that, I've been trying to get back to the StarCraft 2, been playing different games here and there, going back to school, trying to juggle that and work, and other than that, not too much. Life as usual, I guess.
Excellent. Paul, what have you been up to?
I've got school and stuff. It's very, very school-like, kind of boring. Although I have Wednesdays off, which is awfully nice, unless I get a call from work. So it actually hasn't happened yet recently, but oh well. So doing that, having fun. Make sure to show up for the PC gaming event. We changed the day and the time. So if you knew what time it was, I can't speak for all time zones, but I'll just say this. It's
you
1 day later.
1 hour.
And 1 hour. Yeah, you add a day, you minus an hour. You subtract an hour, not minus. Yes. No, it's not loading for me right now. Oh, that'd be a reason. Yep. So come join. We've got Half-Life 2 Deathmatch as usual. We've got, well, the same normal games, but we've also started to try out Counter-Strike Global Offensive. There are some minor issues with the server.
Yeah, there's still a few bugs with the game, so we're waiting for that to be fixed. Random crash and taking forever to load for some reason, and that's just with the stock install. So we're going to wait a while until they fix some of those bugs. But it's a very promising game.
Killing someone is a game-crashing thing, you know, clearly.
Yeah, but it gives us gun game for free. We don't have to add any mods to the server.
Yep. Yeah, it's a very nice game. We just need to make sure the kinks worked out and be all set.
It still on sale? What's the price now?
No, it's not on sale, but the final retail price is $15. So,
not too bad.
Really cheap.
Yeah. And if it goes, the next time it'll go on sale is likely going to be over the
Christmas
sale, which will be, it might even be before them. It'll probably be the winter sale, which will be late December, early January. And
there'll be a Thanksgiving sale as well.
Yeah, at most it'll drop $5.
But still, that's a decent amount.
I mean, right now it's 15, so it's not like it's robbing you blind.
It's
not
3 months
like a Call of
RuneScape
title that is,
or
it's at the old price.
Or I don't know. I don't know what people do in this day and age. Yeah. Or I don't know what people do in this day and age for lunch at school. People still buy lunch.
If I buy lunch on campus, it's $10.
There you go.
That's stupid. And the lunch isn't even good.
at school.
I got, you know what I got for $10? A friggin' lobster in Maine. Yeah, a full lobster. You know what I get at school? A dried out hamburger. What the heck is that?
Ew.
Yeah, no kidding.
Alrighty, Trekkie, should you and I say what we've been doing, or is that extra and not needed?
If you want to go ahead first, go right ahead.
No, you can go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you.
You.
Let's not all be gentlemen
here. Good old couple.
Oh, fine. This week I did some summoning, and I did some construction. I am waiting for my Tomb of Experience at the end of September for when I get the free 700k and I can get 5 Dungeoneering levels. So I'm timing it so that when I use that, I'm going to be able to get skill total 2300. So now that I've done summoning and construction, the next step is to do Slayer and Defense. And I have a prize pendant, a few prize pendants I'm going to use up while doing that as well. So, that's what I've been up to and heading forward to.
Okay. Well, what I did this week, I actually tried out the co-op Slayer. A clan member wanted a clan member asked if I wanted to join him. I said, "Okay, I'll join you." And it was interesting. We got Dust Devils. Basically, he used a gem on me, and we had nothing queued up anyway. He used a gem on me, and I joined him on, and It took us about an hour to kill around 200 Dust Devils. Which, if you think about it, is quite quick considering we had to kill around 200 of them. Usually that'll take me around two or three, depending on what's going on. So it was quite fast.
Right.
I told him I look forward to doing it again with him. I think with those, like,
I wasn't here when the system came out, so what happens if you've already got a task assigned?
I didn't try that one, but basically the other person can either not have the same thing or not have one at all. You just use your gem on it. Basically, once you need the gem, to sell your gem to start it, but once you start it, you don't need it anymore until you want to do another one. So you can basically leave your gem and your bang in between. But that can usually be more hassle than as well, so people would just keep it with them. And it's nice to kind of, you can actually make a little game out of it where it actually shows you how many you've killed, how many the other person killed. So it keeps a little tally.
Oh,
it was interesting because I'm semi AFK. I'm like, dude, how am I still neck and neck with you? I was like, oh, I'm slow. I was like, I put on, you know, super extreme attack potions, extreme strength, and I had my chaotic rapier and everything else. But you know, I enjoyed it. Got classes this week, so test week, so it was all good. Did a presentation on tuberculosis.
Oh, and, wow.
And was it anything? Yeah, and teach Kula a little bit about using the energy on his next eye and make more gateways.
Yes, lots of other things.
Oh, he's and we had a good 1v1 game, didn't we?
We did. We had a best of three. I think I won that after our stalemate when you counted all the games we played.
Shane got greedy. That's what led to his downfall. He got greedy. Okay.
Anyway, so that's pretty much it for this week's RSBNB update. As you can tell, much more relaxed show this week since we didn't have much real RS news to discuss. But with that being said, we'll see you all next week for the live show.